Hello, beloved friends. This is Reverend Dr. Bonnie Barnard back on the call for Affirmative Prayer Week 2. And I have to tell you, oh my gosh, was last week so rich. I had the most lovely emails from you. And last week was intense. We covered a lot in a short period of time. And what I trust and what I know is that there is no need to cram or to know a whole bunch of anything at this point, that you have as much time as you need in order to embrace this material and work it and use it. And where I was so pleased is, even though there was a lot, the response that I got this past week showed how alive the material was for you. And so today there won't be as much. I front-loaded this somewhat in order to get us started, very actively started. And so today won't be as intense or foreign. This next week, I will be asking that you do choose your area for power prayer, for power praying. Wow, that's a tongue twister. I will be asking you to choose that area, so you still have some time. There isn't a rush. So let us begin in prayer, and then we will dive into today's class, preparing for prayer. All right. So again, let's take a nice big audible breath. Let's feel our feet planted on the ground, the earth beneath our feet, the mother supporting us. Let's just choose to let go of any thoughts that have brought us up to this moment, anything that we have been tending to, or anything that we will be doing afterward, and let's come into the present moment of now. Nice. Thank you, guys. And so I speak my word of truth for each and every person on this call and on this replay, that right where they are is the presence and the power and the love of God. That there is nowhere that they could go where God is not, for God is all that there is. God is. God is in manifest form as the ground beneath their feet. God is in manifest form as the chair that they sit on. God is in manifest form as the phone, the computer, everything that surrounds them. And as God is all there is, that God is me and God is each person on this call. We are made of God's stuff. God is and I am. God is and you are. God is and I am. God is and you are. As this is true, I speak my word of truth today. For the awakened consciousness of good, that the good of God is who and what I am, and who is who and what each of us are. We are that good of God that has taken form in order to be on this earth plane, in order to touch humanity, in order to delight ourselves, the light of the light. We are here in order to be of the light, in order to delight ourselves and delight others. I speak my word for each one of us on this call, that because we have come together with the intention of learning this powerful form of prayer, that all that we need in order to learn it exists within us. That all that we need in order to connect with that presence of God, that quality of God, that desire of God that we have is within us. There is not a separate God from life. God is life. And so I claim our awakened state of consciousness to this now. That we are that presence of God, that alive presence. right here, right now, and that everything we need exists within us. And so for this, I give thanks and I call it good. And so it is. Amen. All right. So we're in week two of affirmative prayer, and today we're talking about preparing for prayer. And actually, last week was also preparing for prayer, in that we were looking at a perceived problem or issue and the solution being God. That's the first part of prayer preparation. Boy, there's a lot of peace today, isn't there? So the first thing that we looked at last week is a perceived issue or problem, and God is the solution. Or an internal desire welling up, and God being the fulfillment of that desire. So in preparing for prayer, we get clear. We get clear, what am I praying about? Where am I praying from? And then we look at the quality of God that is ours to become more of. So it's always God to God. The Episcopalians, I grew up in the Episcopal Church, and they have the saying, God from God, true God from true God begotten, not made. One being with the Father consciousness. So that's what we're about today. So in preparation, we are identifying the perceived problem and the quality of God that is its solution, or the desire welling up within us and the quality of God associated with that desire. So that preparation we did last week. This week, what we're looking at in order to experience powerful prayer is becoming centered in our body and forgiving if needed. All right, so let's look first at centering in the body. Here is scripture out of the Christian scripture, the New Testament, 1 Corinthians 6:19. Your bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit. Your bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit. And I did some research reading Hebrew scholars around what Holy Spirit means. And the answer came back, it means to indwell. It means to indwell. The Holy Spirit, as it shows up, that indwelling nature shows up in Scripture, its function is to reveal and to transform. So it's that indwelling presence that reveals and transforms. So when we center the body, here's some notes that I made from recent research. All of the latest around trauma says that when our bodies have undergone trauma, that our emotional self becomes splintered. And so individuals who have unhealed trauma have it stored in their bodies. There's nowhere else for it to live. And because their bodies are so uncomfortable to live in, they live energetically outside of their bodies. And I did this for decades, so I know exactly of what I speak. Getting centered then is getting centered in physical aligning. So we are getting into the body and allowing ourselves to physically align prior to having our affirmative prayer or our spiritual alignment. And in truth, both are spiritual. But the idea being that we are aligning, we are coming into our body. And what happens is as we're in our body, healing comes just from doing that. So different ways to get centered. Yoga, a great way to get centered. Great, great, great way to get centered. There's yoga in every city I've been in. It used to be 30 years ago that I had to do a lot of work to find yoga. And now it seems like it is everywhere, and I'm grateful for that. You can go online and look for yoga poses. The best thing to do, though, would be to actually work with a yoga teacher. In yoga, an individual is using their physical body in conjunction with the breath or the spiritual self. So it's a very conscious relationship between that which is visible and that which is invisible, and gets the body centered. That's beautiful. Another way to become centered is through conscious walking. And conscious walking means that as your feet touch the sidewalk, the bottom of your shoes feel it. So your attention goes to your feet, and as you put your right foot down, you feel the rubber soles of the bottom of the shoes, your foot in the tennis shoe with the rubber sole, the sole touching the cement or the grass or wherever it is that you're walking. You're actually feeling in communion with Mother Earth. So as you walk with your right foot and walk with your left foot, you are feeling the connection of you as a physical being with the physical earth. And then what is even more powerful is to allow yourself to root further down than that. So to allow the energy in your body to go below the shoes so that you're feeling the ground underneath the cement. Or you're feeling even further down to the subterranean levels that exist within Mother Earth. So you're allowing the energy of your body to go down below your body so that you are grounding yourself. And typically, when people aren't in their bodies, they're above or to the side. They're not below. So grounding actually helps bring the energy body in alignment. And along with conscious walking is any kind of mindful activity. And how we do mindfulness is that we become awake and aware to our environment. If I want to become mindful right here and right now, what I do is I allow myself to really see what is around me. I see the computer in front of me. I see the phone in my hand. I see my cup of tea on the table. I see the light coming through the window. I see the oak chair in front of me. So I use all sight. I feel the chair under my butt. I feel the coldness in the room. This room is so chilly. I tell you, it's chilly. So I feel that against my skin. So I'm seeing and I'm feeling and I'm hearing. And today I'm hearing some gentleman outside working on the lawn. And so I hear a lawnmower and I hear a buzzer and a blower and all kinds of stuff like that. And as I taste, I am tasting the residue of the tea in my mouth. So I'm awake to all senses that are going on within me and around me, and then I am present. So walking meditation or walking consciously or mindfully is also lovely because not only are you feeling your feet on the ground, but you're seeing the trees and where they are in bloom, and you're smelling what's going on in the air. So practicing becoming conscious of what is surrounding you is a way to get centered very quickly. So far, a variety of ways to get centered included yoga, conscious walking, or mindful anything. The third is brain gym activities, and I have not been trained in them, but I have done a lot of them as a participant in groups. And what has always struck me is it tends to be that we touch from one side of our body to the other and then from the other side of the body back. So, for example, I would stand up and touch my right arm to my left knee and put it down, and then my left arm to my right knee and put it down, and lift my left knee up and put my right arm on it and then put it down, and then put my right knee up and my left arm on it. So I would cross over and lift my legs, one and then the other, and one and then the other, and one and then the other. And what I'm doing is I am getting into my body and adjusting it so that the sides are matching up with each other. Powerful, powerful, powerful. And I bet that, I know there's classes everywhere, but I bet that there's something online for that as well. Body tapping. Body tapping has become so popular in the last 20 years. And it is about tapping different parts of your body in order to have them come alive and awaken. So it's sometimes when I feel like I am not fully in my body, I may tap my heart. Try this with me right now. Put like your middle three fingers together and just tap your heart a little bit. and notice how awake and aware you become of your heart when you do tapping there. And again, this is a whole technology, and I'm really not getting into it for any other purpose than to say this is just reminding us that we're in body and bringing our energy body inside as well as outside. Okay, and then maybe I'll tap my third eye. That feels so good. Tap my belly. I love it. Nice, and I'm going to tap my lower back too, just because intuitively I feel guided to do that. And then I'm just going to rub my hands up and down my legs and just feel my hands touching my legs. And I can, as I do this and I put my attention on it, attention is invisible. So I'm taking that which is invisible and that which is visible, which is my arm rubbing my leg. And so I am bringing forth the invisible and the visible simultaneously and being aware of it. And that's really powerful. And then another way to get centered is through chakra meditation. And chakra is an Eastern energy system, which has been around. It's probably one of the oldest energy systems that has existed. It's been around a very, very long time. And the chakra energy system exists all throughout the body. There tends to be 7 predominant ones, but they do exist in far more access points in the body. And online there are powerful, powerful, powerful chakra meditations. And so depending upon the amount of time I invest in a day with my spiritual practice depends upon how much time I spend centering. It can be as quick as becoming aware of my breath, doing some tapping. It can be as extensive as taking a long, 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 long walk and then coming back and doing a chakra meditation. So these are just some ways to get into the body. Together today, we're going to do a root meditation. I'm going to walk you through a root meditation, which will be fun for us to do together and experience that. So I think we're probably ready to dive into the centered meditation. So what I'm going to ask you to do is to get very comfortable wherever you're at. And I ask that you sit instead of lay, if that's possible. Have your feet fully and completely planted up on the ground and close your eyes. Close your eyes. And I'm going to... Since we're all at various levels of meditative ability, I'm going to practice just doing something with each one of us that's really fun, and that is just putting our focus on different parts of the body. So with your eyes closed, place your attention upon your hands. So with your eyes closed, you are putting your attention on your hands, which means that your senses, even though your eyes are closed, are going, your attention is going to your hands. And as you practice this, as you put your attention upon your hands, notice if you feel anything that's different about your hands than any other part of your body. I notice as my attention is on my hands that my hands are feeling full, they're feeling warm, they're tingling some, and they're feeling as though they are like in technicolor, like they are brighter than the rest of my body. They're standing out in some way. And then move your attention to your feet, the bottom of your feet, to where your feet are touching the ground. Put your attention on the bottom of your feet, so on that skin that is actually doing the touching on the ground.
And what do you notice? I notice my feet feel heavy. I notice my feet are cold. I notice my legs started tingling. That's interesting. And there's no meaning to this except we're practicing placing attention. And now place your attention upon your heart. And breathe in and breathe out with your attention upon your heart. I notice as I put my attentiveness upon my heart that I feel both a heaviness and a lightness. I feel a heaviness like my attention is there and a lightness like it's open. And as I do this, I'm seeing sparks of light underneath my eyelids, even though my attention's on my heart. It's quite beautiful. And some of us might not feel a thing, and that does not mean anything. That does not mean anything. We're practicing placing our attention. So now that we're doing a rooted meditation, I'm going to ask you to put your attention back on your feet. And I want you to imagine, and we're going to use imaging and action, imagination. I want you to imagine that the energy from your body, is actually leaving your feet, staying in your body, but it's extending beyond your feet and going down through the earth, penetrating the earth. Penetrating the earth. Going all the way down to the very center core of Earth, where it is boiling hot, fiery, lava-y, where there is life, where there is movement. And what I'd like you to imagine, and if you need to, just give yourself permission to keep going down further and 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 just keep going and going and going and going and going and going. And wherever your attention lands is perfect. And what I want you to imagine now is that coming back up through your feet is akin to like an umbilical cord. What's coming up to your feet is the nourishment from Mother Earth. That it's coming up in the form of flesh and coming up in the form of blood and coming up in the form of body fluids and coming up in the form of the light intelligence that lives within our body. We have so much light in our body, it's crazy. And we have water and we have salt and we have all of this just luscious stuff that keeps us alive. So whether we know what it is or we don't know what it is, just imagine that that energy of life itself is coming up from the middle of the mother and coming into your body right now. And the first time I did this meditation, I sat for hours because it felt so good. I didn't want to leave. But imagine that coming up through your legs and starting to feed your body. That any and everything that your body needs right now in the form of support and love is coming through this fluid, this mother juice, coming up through your feet and up through your legs and up through your thighs, and it's just moving up to your body, through your genital area, up by your belly button. Just allow yourself to feel this life energy of the mother coming up through and to your body. Oh. Doesn't that feel good? I just love that feeling. Oh. And for anyone on the call who may be experiencing loneliness, who may feel unloved or unlovable, let this mother energy inform you otherwise. Let this mother energy give you the companionship that you desire and the love that you are. Let it remind you of that. Let it bring it to you through the intelligence of life itself. And as the mother is making her way throughout our body, loving us in every single cell of our being, we open the top of our head to the Father energy, to the presence of God itself, to the light force that is coming in from up above and downward. And so just imagine that up on the top of your head is like a, what would that be, like a portal of some sort, or like, what am I thinking of? You know, like a cap that we can unscrew? A nice big one, a nice big gigantic one. And that the light of the infinite source, the light of God, the all that is, the masculine of the givingness of God is coming down through us. And allow yourself to feel that radiant light bathing you inside your body temple, outside your body temple, and the mother meeting the father and the two just giving you any and everything that you need within your body today. Feel yourself centered and grounded in the masculine principle and the feminine principle, in the earth and in the heaven. Feel yourself grounded in the wholeness of being. Allow yourself to feel the solidity of being on earth and the visionary delight of soaring beyond it. All of that resides within you. All of that. So just practice receiving, receiving light, receiving life, receiving light, receiving life. And again, I could sit here for hours because I don't want it to end, and yet it must. This is practice for us. And so then let's go ahead and take our energy back from the center of the earth, our energy body back up through the center of the earth, closing our feet off and putting the top on our head again, closing that energy field off, and yet recognizing and knowing that we could only call forward what we are. And so that energy is present within me, that energy is present within you, it always has been, it always will be, and anytime we want, we can go back to get centered and to replenish. And so I give thanks for this time that we've had together, centering, and I call it good. And so it is. Amen. Okay, come back, my friends. Come back, come back, come back. Isn't that lovely? I tell you, I can do that forever. The first time I touched into the Mother Earth that way, I am telling you, it just changed me. I loved it so much. Okay, so that was the rooted meditation. You can go back to the slide, of course, and do it anytime that you want, anytime that you desire. Other options that we have, as we mentioned, are brain gym, are tapping, are any version of just connection, the becoming awake sensorially to what's going on is mindfulness, walking and feeling ourselves on the earth, but allowing ourselves as we enter into prayer to get grounded. And this is so interesting because I probably prayed for the first 3, 4, 5, 6 years of my life without being grounded because I didn't know. And then after I knew, my prayers took off like crazy because then they became embodied prayers. They weren't just concepts anymore. Very, very powerful. So I skipped over some of the comments when we began today that came in from classmates. And so before we go on to the next stage of preparation, which is forgiveness, I do want to go back to the conversation we had last week about charting out the choice points that the choice points in our life that create patterns. And I received an email from Patricia who did the charting. Good job, Patricia. You sent me your chart and it was just beautiful. And what Patricia charted out was that her choices, she tore apart through charting an ongoing fight and the way she fights or continues to fight with her roommate. And it doesn't happen often, but when it does, it tends to take place in the same way. It tends that Patricia starts it, and that's fascinating to see who's the starter. And her roommate does not start it, but her roommate doesn't let go of it. So, like, there's this ongoing kind of tug with the two of them. And she charted it out. And not only did she chart it out and see her pattern, which existed with her earlier fight she had as a child with her sister, she was able to take that chart to her roommate and share it with her and have a conversation, and the two got to choose a different way of talking. I mean, this is the power in this. When we become conscious of how we're behaving, we can make new choice. So congratulations, Patricia. That is so beautiful, and it really, really warms my heart that you guys have more options. I mean, this is beautiful. Patricia said that her underlying belief was that she had to win at all costs. And how lovely to see that an idea like winning is driving not the quality of God that you want to embody, but a mental construct. And, of course, the idea of winning means that there's a loser. And so there's opposition. So really, if we were to take Patricia's belief further, that it's a belief in opposition. It's belief that there's a good, bad, and a right, and a wrong, and a winning. That there's a winning and a losing. So good work, Patricia. And then John emailed me and said that he learned that he was living out his parents' old beliefs. And this is really common as we are waking up to who we are and who we are to be in this world. What we often see is that we've been living somebody else's belief system, whether it is our parents or siblings or the school or a church or society, that we are living out someone else's idea of us, and that becoming awake in consciousness is about becoming fully ourselves. So John said that he was living out his parents' beliefs, and one of the ways that this showed up for him this last week was that he caught himself going over to a friend's house for a birthday party. He was attending an event, and he said he had an internal unconscious rule that he could stay at a gathering no more than 1 hour, and that he just knew internally that after an hour happened, he needed to leave. And he never knew why. He just knew that that whatever time he showed up, he would be leaving an hour later. And his friends knew this. And this time they questioned him, and it really kind of caught him. And what he realized when he charted this out was that his parents had a belief, and they talked about it often, about how people would come and stay at their home and outlive their welcome. And he saw the disdain that his parents had toward people. Well, first of all, he saw the love and the delight when people arrived, and then when they stayed too long, the disdain that his parents started developing. So he made the unconscious agreement with himself that he would never stay anywhere too long. And so when it came to a birthday party or an event, he left after 1 hour. And he caught himself doing this and was able to make a new choice. And he emailed me to say that his life is changing for the better because he is in charge of his choices. So congratulations, John. That is absolutely fabulous. So I am glad to hear that that the charting went well. Like I said, I use it in my client sessions, and I used it for myself for clarity, and it always helps. It always helps because charts are linear, so it's taking the unconscious, which is not linear, and it's putting it into a linear form and being able to take a look at it. So I love that process. All right, so preparation for prayer. Prayer preparation includes, as we've already spoken of, looking at the perceived issue, the quality of God that transforms that, or the internal desire and the quality of God asking to come forward. And so that is a chunk of work. The more you do that, the more you do this, you can have that clarity in minutes. As we are learning anything, it takes longer. So if you have the thought in your mind like, oh, my God, every time I sit down and pray, is it going to take me 10 hours? The answer is absolutely not. It could, but most likely not. This just seems like a lot because we're learning together. So the next thing I do in preparation is I look internally to see if I have any funk happening, if there's anyone that I need to forgive or anything or idea I need to forgive. And here's another scripture taken from the New Testament of the Christian Bible. It says, and whenever you stand praying, forgive. If you have anything against anyone, forgive them so that your Father in heaven may forgive your sins. And in this work, we actually don't believe that anyone is sinful. The idea being that if we are looking and judging at someone as being sinful, or a more modern word would be guilty, if we are looking at someone with guilt, then the inner presence, the Most High God within us, will reflect back to us the guilt that we are looking at someone else. So like if God is this master light and we are projecting outward guilt, then what we see within ourselves, what we feel, what we experience is guilt. And so we're the ones who are messing up our own internal landscape. So that scripture does not mean that anyone is sinful. It's saying if you are looking at someone as though they are guilty, as though they are sinful, as though they are wrong, if you are looking at someone with eyes that they are wrong, then that internal presence within you that is pure light will reflect back to you that idea of wrongness, and that's what you will live out. And it's not fun to live from that place, my friends. So forgiveness is a powerful practice. So the word forgive literally means to give forth. So the non-forgiven state is like I said, the state of projecting or of seeing wrong, of seeing bad, of seeing off, of seeing not right. And forgiving means that we're going to give forth grace. We're giving forth grace to the other person. We're giving forth grace to our thought. We're giving forth grace to ourselves. What is coming from me is the question. Am I a ripe place of love to pray from, or do I need to clean anything up? Am I right inside of me? Am I a fertile ground for my prayer to come from, or do I need to clean something up? I love the word grace. I love the word grace. I love the word grace. For a long time, I was talking about forgiveness as being love, which it is. And then the more that I was with this concept, the more I realized that divine grace is really no matter what, you're okay, I'm okay, and I love you. I mean, no matter what. And that is heaven, and that to the human is not an easy road to get to. Or I shouldn't say that because that's not true. A revelation could do that. But to the human, it is so much easier to want to throw a stone back at someone who throws a stone at us instead of to love, instead of to be the grace of God brought forward. So when we are funky internally, when we are living out the idea of wrong making, that grace allows us to have some more internal spaciousness. Scripture says that what is within us is what we own, that we give forth to another, then we whatever we give forth to another is multiplied many times over. Whoa. God, I love to say this, God is in the multiplication business. God is in the multiplication business. So who we are multiplies many times over. What we bring forward multiplies many times over. So for me, forgiveness is a joyful experience in order to clean my inside out. Some ways that I do forgiveness when it comes to prayer is I get quiet and I ask who I've put outside of my heart, although usually I don't have to ask because I know. If, like in the, this is the funniest thing, you know, the example that I used last week for my chart of the guy who just, like, was relentless and would not leave me alone, I believe I was in prayer for myself and for him for hundreds of hours before I was able to let go. And I thought, this is so hilarious because my human complaint, my human issue was that he was taking time, like I didn't have enough time. But boy, every prayer I prayed for months, I dedicated to him. The thing that happens when we are forgiving or praying for our enemies, and enemies are our own thoughts. Enemies are not an external reality. It's an internal idea. So as we are praying for our enemies, as we are praying, what we do is, what I do is I pray for my most juiciest desire that I have. And then I ask that that same juicy desire that I have be theirs too, so that the prayer isn't solely for me, but it's for others as well. So when I pray that I'm doing my right work, I want everyone, especially those that I think I don't like, to have their right work. When I am praying for health, I'm wanting everyone to be healthy, especially those that I am holding any angst towards. So the prayer practice continues to be what is highest for me is highest for everyone. So that's one way I do forgiveness work, is that I include the other, the belief in the other, in with me as love. I also, before I pray, if I have some need to forgive, I may see the other person in front of me and see the light of God that surrounds them. And if I am perceiving that there isn't a light of God that surrounds them, then that's my issue, and it's a big one. And so I get to sit until I see it. And something magical happens when I start seeing other people as the presence of God in front of me. When I start seeing them as whole, and I start seeing them as a gift to the planet, and I start seeing them in their innocence, then something magic and magnificent happens. The other thing, and this is new in the last couple years, is that I have really taken to, in my spiritual practice, seeing clients, friends, others, as the little child that they came into the world as. And I will hold them in my arms, in my mind. So it's not real, obviously, or it's not, I shouldn't say real, but it's not tangible. It's not three-dimensional, but I hold them in my arms, and I rock them, and I speak to them of high and holy love. And I find that the more difficult that I find someone to love, then the more necessary that it is for me to rock them, to love them, to look in their eyes, to remind them, to remind me of who these people really are at the core of their being. And I know that the more that I see them in consciousness, in my mind of light, that the more that I open up to a deep love for them. So my forgiveness work is, first of all, recognizing that any enemy is an idea inside of me. So that's huge. The next piece for forgiveness work is I look at how can I bring forth love or grace? How can I bring that forward? And it may be that I dedicate my prayer to someone, so it's not just mine, it's shared. That may be one choice that I have. It may be that I close my eyes until I can see the light of God around this other person. And or it may be that I hold them as a young baby, as a young child, and I allow myself to be the place of the mother love, holding, rocking, loving, speaking words of kindness to them that I may be more. Because this has nothing to do with them. This has to do with me, that I become more loving in that process. It's my perception that is the one that is askew. I am not seeing them as lovable. And so by me practicing loving, I become more. It's all of this is so profoundly beautiful. And then the Christians have a practice out of the Bible of doing forgiveness 70 times 7. And so that would be writing down on a piece of paper, I forgive you, I love you, 70 times, 7 times over. And so that is a real terrific practice. And then I have at times, maybe 3 times a year or so, when I go on retreat, I will make a list of people that I just have been less than kind to. And I'll look to see if there's any themes. I'll look to see what's going on inside of me. And I will spend time blessing them. I mean, just sit and just bless them. Any blessing I can think of, I speak forward on their behalf. And because this used to be a really long process. It used to take days to get it done. Now not so much because I catch myself every day and I'm in practice, but it used to be really extensive. So some form of forgiveness before we begin prayer. All right. So thank you again for another just delicious week of being together. Week one last week and week two this week have been about preparing for affirmative prayer. Next week, we're going to step into the very first step of affirmative prayer. There are 5 steps to the affirmative prayer process, and we will start with step 1 next week. Our practice for this week is to select an area of your life for which you'd like to create your master or your power prayer. And an example of this might be intimacy, financial well-being, physical health, emotional health, the level of satisfaction. Something in your life that you either are just so done with not having results, or something within you that is just calling you forward to be loved. Yummy, 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 yummy. Then the second thing I ask you to do is to write out your perceived issue and the quality of God you desire to express more of. So write out your perceived issue and the quality of God that you desire to express more of. And where that is helpful for you is you get to see the false belief and you get to see the quality of God that you desire. What is helpful for me is that when I see that and pray along with you, I may see additional areas where I could give you supportive feedback. Then the third practice for this week is practice some form of grounding every day and do that before your prayer or before your contemplation. And then the fourth is to forgive everyone and everything that may be keeping you small. So this week is going to be about grounding and forgiveness. Last week, we explored quality of God. This week, I'm asking you to write out that quality of God. Well, I'm asking you to choose your master power prayer area, the quality of God that goes with it, practice some form of grounding every single day, and forgive anyone or anything that has you in any way feel small and not the big, magnificent, radiant light of God that you are. Okay, again, you can contact me through revbonnieb@gmail.com. That's revbonnieb@gmail.com. We have enough time today to close out in prayer. Yippee, yippee, yippee. And let me see if any of you have questions. If you have a question, please post that. I have a post here from Gloria, and Gloria says, thank you again for a fantastic class today. It gives me a lot to think about. I have been resisting forgiveness work and know that it's mine to do. Thank you, Gloria. And I invite each one of us to not think of forgiveness as work. I use that word a lot, too. And it really is practice and not work. And, Gloria, I look forward to hearing all about it. This is fantastic, absolutely fantastic. All right. Oh, isn't this interesting? Okay, hi, John. All right. So John says that when he had the insight around the belief that his parents had and he chose different than that, he felt like in that choosing he forgave them. And that is a very masterful insight, John, and that is indeed correct. That as we see where we have allowed ourselves to be tied down and we make a different choice, everyone and everything gets free. It's like that that bundle of consciousness was released into the universe. And the truth is that when we are living at the highest level of our being, that there really is nothing to forgive. I mean, what we come to realize and to appreciate is that everything works together for the goodness and glory of God, everything, whether we like it or not. And so when we come from that place in consciousness, that that the word forgive has a totally different meaning to it, totally different meaning. However, for us, and for most of humanity, the word forgive is extraordinarily powerful and is a practice that actually releases them into their highest state of being. And so we want to do that. We want to forgive our way to freedom. We want to forgive. We want to. All right. So thank you all so much for being here this week, and we're going to go ahead and close out in prayer. So again, another big breath. And so right here and right now, I give thanks that the presence of God truly is all that there is. That there's not God and anything, there's God as everything. I give thanks that that presence of God is a loving and graceful presence that wants its best for all of its creation. It wants its best for me. It wants its best for each and every person on this call. It wants the good life to be lived in, through, and as us. And so I celebrate this today. I celebrate this today. I celebrate this today. And I look forward to cleaning out my internal house in any way where more light can shine through, where more good can be made manifest. I let go of complaining. I let go of doubting. I let go of the low-level rumblings in my head as I step into more and more and more of this light that is the truth of who and what I am. And so for this, I give thanks, and I bless everyone on this call, and I know that this week is a holy week, and so it is. Amen. Bye, guys.